It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Good fam, welcome back to the Whoa That's Good podcast. I am so excited. Today is a very special day because it's the first time that I have an LO sister ambassador on the podcast. She is incredible. I follow her on Instagram, but also I just like did a deep dive and watched all of her YouTube videos. She's incredible. Her name is Dee Kisser, and she is actually in Tokyo. Are you in Tokyo right now?
Heading to Tokyo.
We're going to get to that in a minute as to why she's there, but it is actually for what you're thinking. We're pumped to get to talk to her, and welcome to the podcast, Dee.
Hey, thank you for having me. I'm looking forward to this. It's going to be awesome.
Yes, it is going to be so awesome. So I have to ask you the question that I ask everyone who's on the What's Good podcast. What is the best piece of advice that you have ever been given?
Dun, dun, dun. Well, the best piece of advice I would have to say has come from my mom. She's pretty great. She's pretty cool. Moms always give some good wisdom.
That's right.
And in 2015, I was training for the Rio Paralympic team, and I wasn't in the greatest place. Everything I did was about swimming. I ate swimming. I drank swimming. I did everything just to get myself on that team. And I was not mentally healthy at all. And so there was a practice I came back from, and I was crying. I was not happy with it. And my mom sat me down and she said, "Dee, who are you swimming for?" And I honestly didn't have an answer. And I was like, I don't know, mom. Like, what type of question is that? Mm-hmm. And she said, "Well, if you're not swimming for anybody but God, you need to stop right now."
Wow.
And I was like, I don't want to stop, mom. This is what I want to do. I've invested my whole life in this. I don't know what you mean. And she said, "Okay, then if this is what you want to do, you have to remember that you are Danielle, who is a child of God who happens to swim."
Wow.
So you are not Danielle the swimmer. You are not Danielle the little person. You are not Danielle the friend. You happen to do all those things, but first and foremost, you are Danielle, who is a child of God who happens to swim. Because, like, it says in the Bible that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And for a lot of things, like swimming, is one day is great, one day is not so great, and it's changing. And so when our identity is in something that changes, we're not going to be doing so well. And that's kind of where I found myself at. So my mom told me, "Danielle, you are a child of God who happens to swim. Just as Sadie, you are Sadie, who is a child of God who happens to be doing a podcast today."
Yeah. Oh, that's so great. Come on. Come on, mom, with the good advice. I love that. Well, I have so many questions I want to ask you, honestly. Even as you're talking, I'm like, you're such an inspiration, and we're going to get to all of it. So I guess we'll start with, because you mentioned it, you said, "I'm a little person," you have dwarfism, and that's a huge part of your story. You are very open with that. And so tell us a little bit about your story, about your life.
Yeah, so I have a form of dwarfism called achondroplasia. I'm not going to spell it. Don't worry. You don't need to write that down.
I cannot spell that myself.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Free pass this time. But I am the only little person in my family. And so my type of dwarfism affects about 1 in 25,000 people. And when I was born, my parents didn't know that I was a little person until I was about 8 months old. And so for them, it was this crazy new thing about, okay, how do we raise a child with a physical difference? What is it going to be like? Is she going to be okay? Is she going to be bullied? Can she do all these sports and whatnot? And I was really blessed with parents who just let me try things. They let me do what I wanted. They let me, well, not do what I wanted. There's some boundaries in that, but they let me do things my friends were doing, and they didn't let me use my disability as an excuse to not try. And honestly, like, that equipped me for being able to do the things I'm doing today. And I think something like having a physical difference like this, like, I'm walking down the street, you're going to notice me because I'm small. You don't see a little person every day. And I think it's one of those things that God has allowed me to have as a conversation starter for people, because I just can't cover this up. Like, I can't throw on a jacket and pretend I don't have dwarfism. Like, you can't hide this. And so it's been really interesting, just the conversations I can have just based on what I look like, and people are curious, and curiosity is a great way to open up conversations.
Right. That's so good. I wrote down a quote that you said in one of your videos that I watched that I thought was really powerful. And I want you to share a little bit about the backstory of this. But you said this day in particular, whenever you kind of realized that you were different, you said, "I didn't only realize that I was different, but it was that day that I realized that my life had meaning." And I thought that was such a beautiful way to put it. What did that look like for you?
Yeah, so I, growing up, I was never bullied in school. I was really fortunate that I had a great upbringing. And so I didn't know the darker side of being physically different until I got older. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of times where it would just be really hard. Like, you're walking down the street and people would just yell these things that I'm not going to repeat on here. Mm-hmm. And they're just not great things to hear, and they could really damage a person. And I realized that, you know, God doesn't make mistakes, and mm-hmm. he makes everyone for a purpose, whether we find out that purpose or not, like, until we get to heaven, like, who knows. But I just strongly believe that I'm not an accident, and that God has a purpose for why he's made me this way. Mm-hmm. And I think that when people buy into that, and as I've worked at learning that and taking that on as my own, it's helped me to see that, you know, my life does matter. Yeah. Your life matters. Everyone's life matters. It's just going to look different, but that doesn't mean that you can't use it.
Yeah, that's so good. You know, it's like super inspiring about you and the things that you say is it's like, you know, you happen to have dwarfism, and yet you have these revelations of that, you know what, this is how God made me. And if God made me this way, then I have meaning, and I believe that, and I trust that. And that message is something that every single person has to hear. That message is something that every single person, whether they have dwarfism, whether they have a different kind of disability, or they have a different kind of whatever it is, or they have a different color skin, or whatever they have that they're uncomfortable with, and or even if they look like the normal person, which what even is normal, you know, everybody has to come to that realization that, you know what, I gotta rock what I got, because this is how God made me, and I don't know why. And you could spend all day questioning that, or you can just say, I'm gonna use it. And you've certainly used it, and it seems like you have a great mom behind you who's been encouraging you to use it, and so do I. There's so many times in my life where I didn't want to use the abilities that God gave me because they scared me. And my mom would be like, that is like you, which I have behind me. You are the original. You are an original. That's how God made you. Use it. You posted this on Instagram. You said, your life's greatest story is the one you're willing to write while not erasing out the disappointment. And I love that because you talked about that. And one other thing that I talked about, it's like, it's not like you have to erase all the things that are disappointing. It's not like you have to take away all these things. Like, right where you are, who you are, is what, you know, God can use. For your life, like, obviously you've had setbacks in different ways. What are some of those, like, have some of those times looked like where you've had physical setbacks that you've had to walk through or walk out in order to swim, in order to do the things that you want to do? How did you get through those things?
Yeah, so we kind of touched on it a little bit, but I am currently heading to the Paralympic Games, which is going to be super exciting. I'm very excited.
Which, by the way, like, you're so casual about it. That is so cool. Like, that is amazing.
Yeah, honestly, if I get too much into it, I get a little emotional because this has been a dream of mine since I started swimming 13 years ago, and God miraculously opened up a door this year for it to happen, like, in the middle of a pandemic. That's definitely God showing off. Right. And so I'm living this dream, but yeah, like what you said, I've had a lot of different just injuries that come with having disabilities and having, like, dwarfism. So I've had a couple major surgeries done over the last few years that have set me back in the pool. I've fallen a few times, so I've had a few concussions. And anyone out there who's had a concussion knows those things aren't great.
Not
and,
fun.
Um, Yeah, so I've just had like just things that just keep coming up, and it's kind of like I would get close to making a team, I'd get close to making it to Rio, and then I wouldn't, or I'd be having a really great training year, and then I'd get injured. I'm like, God, what the heck? Like, I thought this was what you wanted me to be doing, and I thought this is where you've put me. And time again, he tells me, he's like, Dee, no, this is where I want you. I didn't say that it was going to be easy. I didn't say that I wasn't going to just remove all these like little injuries here and there, but this is where I need you. And I think growing through that and learning all those things, and I don't know if you could relate to this, but there's only things you can learn when you face disappointments. There's specific things that I don't think anyone could ever learn unless they go through something hard. And I think that I've gone through a lot of hard things, and I'm sure a lot of people listening right now have gone through some pretty difficult stuff, but you can't learn those things when everything's going well. I think that when you choose to see those disappointments as opportunities, yes, they're difficult, but they're difficult in a sense that you're learning something that you would have never learned.
Y'all, we all grew up at camp around here. We are camp kids. We love camp, love a good camp game, camp song. All of it is so fun. Summers at camp are definitely awesome. And my kids are too young for camp, so I got to have some other things to entertain them. And KiwiCo is a great way to bring camp right to your door. Some of the fun of camp, at least. KiwiCo delivers some seriously fun learning games for kids of all ages through hands-on projects and activities. Every month, kids receive crates packed with projects and items to help them explore science, technology, and art in ways that will capture their attention no matter what their age. So I mentioned our love for camp. My mom actually was the craft director at camp all my life. And so she was always doing new crafts and teaching us crafts and led all the kids in that. And so it really is fun to get to do some crafts with the kids at home, especially with KiwiCo, because they always have an educational element to them for no matter what age your kids are. So even Honey, the little crafts that KiwiCo has sent are great because it's teaching her things that I might not necessarily think to teach her at this age, but through a fun way, it helps her. KiwiCo will help you engage your child's natural curiosity and encourage them to be an innovator and creative thinker. They'll learn new skills and new connections and build the confidence that they need to navigate through the world. We have loved watching Honey and Haven grow and learn, and thankfully, KiwiCo has made it so much fun along the journey. So redefine learning with play. Explore projects that build confidence and problem-solving skills with KiwiCo. Get 50% off your first month on any crate line at KiwiCo.com with the promo code Sadie Robb. That's 50% off your first month at KiwiCo, KiwiCo.com with the promo code Sadie Robb. Y'all know I love a good story. I love hearing about a story, listening to a story, and there are so many unforgettable stories and characters out there, and Audible is here to help you discover all of them. Audible is the home of storytelling and lets you enjoy all of your audio entertainment in one simple, convenient app. They offer an amazing selection of audiobooks from every genre, like bestsellers, new releases, memoirs, mysteries, business, and more. There's always something new to discover along with your old favorites. If you're a thrill seeker, Audible is the place for you. Their selection of mystery and thriller titles, plus highly anticipated new releases, will keep your heart racing month after month. And Audible's next listen recommendation means that there's always something that you'll love at your fingertips. Audible members get full access to a growing selection of included audiobooks, Audible originals, and even podcasts. You can download or stream them wherever you would like and whenever you would like. Plus, members can pick one title every month from the entire catalog to keep. With thousands of titles, you'll definitely find something you love all in one convenient app so that you can listen anywhere, anytime. So if you're into the whole crime mystery thing, my sister actually just told me about a title called The Last Thing He Told Me by Laura Dave. And I gotta be honest, I'm not really into these kind of things because I get too scared too easily. And she was like, no, it will not scare you. You will love it. You'll be so into it. So I guess that's gonna be my next listen. So new members can try Audible now for free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/woe or text woe, W-H-O-A to 500-500. That's audible, audible.com/woe or just text woe to 500-500 to try Audible for free for 30 days. Go check it out, friends.
If it was easy.
That's so true. I've definitely seen that a lot of times in my life. And it's cool because I think a lot of people do put this expectation on God because God is good, that things have to be good for God to be in them. And that's not true. Like, God is your strength when you're weak. You know, He is good even when it's bad. And that's why you cling to Him, you run to Him. And so it's really cool to hear you say that, because clearly, like, even if you watch any of your YouTube videos, follow you on Instagram, like, you've seen the setbacks, but you've also seen you grow through them. And I think that's so cool that you share your life, because you're just a walking testimony of God's goodness. And I love that your YouTube channel is called The Little Light, which I was thinking about that. And I understand, obviously, you had the little light, but you are a big light. Like, you shine so bright. You're literally representing your country right now in Canada, for Canada. And that is just the coolest thing ever. When you were little, did you always want to swim, or how did that happen? How did swimming become your thing?
Yeah, that's a great question. So originally, I told my parents, I was like 5 years old, I said, "Mom, I want to be in a show." I'm not shy in front of a camera. I'm fine to talk. And so they're like, "Okay, we'll put you in ballet." Did not like ballet. Pink tutus, not my thing. But I was in a show.
Thing.
Not my thing. So I was in a show, though, and so I enjoyed that. And then I found soccer. And I played high school basketball, I played softball, I did competitive horseback riding. I did like all the things my friends were doing. And then it got to a point where my friends started getting taller, they started getting faster, and I got left behind. And I'm super competitive, and so that was really frustrating because my body just was limiting me in what I could do. My desire to play was not limited, but I was just coming to the end of what I was physically capable of. And then swimming actually came along right at that peak of my frustration, and I was swimming laps with my dad. My dad taught me how to swim, which was kind of cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and my brother was in swim club at the time, and his coach knew about Paralympic swimming, and he came up to me one day and he said, "Hey, like, you should join swim club. There's this thing called parasport. You could be really good." And me being 11, I was like, "I could be pretty good. Okay, I want to try this."
That's awesome.
Yeah, and then a few months later, I joined swim club, and then I learned to swim, and now 13 years later, I get to swim on one of the biggest world stages, and it's one of the most humbling, coolest, speechless moments I think I will ever be in. And I don't get speechless often, and so that's quite a lot.
That's awesome. Are you nervous?
I'm a little nervous, yeah. I would say, though, more excited because, again, like, when the coronavirus like started, the whole Olympics and Paralympics, they got postponed, and so we weren't even sure if these games were going to happen. And so it was just a lot of training, a lot of like hoping, a lot of trust in God. And then when our trials actually did happen, originally I didn't make the team. I was the first alternate. And so there's a lot of emotion there and trusting that God had a plan. So 3 weeks ago I wasn't even on this team.
Wow.
And then,
okay, back up. Tell us that. Tell us that story.
Yeah. So, because of the pandemic and stuff, Canada wasn't able to host an actual swim meet, so we had to do individual time trials.
Wow.
And I perform better racing, and so not being able to race people is a little challenging. And so I didn't make it. I was first alternate to the team. And that was hard because, you know, you feel like, you're like, I felt like God told me I was going to make it. I felt like this is where I'm supposed to be. And okay, obviously not. Okay, just keep saying, okay, God, your will, not mine. Your will, not mine. As you're crying. And then a few weeks later, one of my teammates got injured. And then I was told that in case this person couldn't go, then I would be stepping in their place. And then 7 days before we were supposed to leave for this staging camp that I'm at now, I found out that I was going to be going. And so really, like, 3 weeks ago, I wasn't on this team. And then God just had this door open where he's like, "No, this is where I want you to go. You've learned your disappointments. You worked through them. But now it's time to use what I've taught you." And now I get to really just showcase that on the biggest stage. And so I don't think I'm nervous.
Yeah.
I think I'm more just excited to be there because this was 100% God.
Right. So. I think I feel what you're saying, because for me, like, I get nervous every time before I speak, but I'm like excited about it. And like, I'm nervous because I care about it. And like, that used to be fear. At one point in my life, that was 100% fear. But like, once I started doing it really with the Lord and trusting Him, it became like excited nervousness. And I kind of like love that. I love that I get nervous. Like, you embrace that, because I feel like it helps you like do better and helps you like feel the moment, because you're going to Tokyo. Like, you're going to be like in the Olympics. Like, yeah, you're going to be a little nervous, but it's really exciting. That's amazing. What does it feel like for you, like, with all the setbacks and even just, like, having, you know, how old are you, 24?
24, yep.
24, we're same age, 24 years of, you know, overcoming, being a dwarf, but also being amazing and all those things. How does it feel now to get this opportunity to represent your country and be there? Did you ever think that you'd get to do something like this?
I think I have two answers for that. I think the D of 6 years ago would have said, why am I not already on this team? Why have I not already gotten here? And the D of today, this is a gift.
Wow.
Like, there's no other way to describe when God has brought you through the fire, brought you through the tough stuff, and has just graciously given you this opportunity that you've wanted, that, I mean, we could say that, like, oh, you're deserving, you worked hard for this, but none of us are deserving of what we've been given. This everything in life is a gift. My dwarfism is a gift, as hard as it is. Swimming is a gift, as challenging as it's been. And this genuinely just feels like a gift. Yeah, and now, wow. Like, God, my pastor actually told me this, and he phrased it really well. But he said that, you know, God takes pleasure just watching you swim. He doesn't care that, like, you're not first. I mean, that's great, but he just takes pleasure watching you push the water aside. Like, you're glorifying Him in the pool, in the lane that you've been given, just as like when we're standing making videos or doing this podcast, like, we're glorifying God with our voices. And so that's what I'm just so pumped to do in Tokyo, is stand up on the block, glorify God, and whatever I end up doing, the time that's is cool. I mean, I hope I do well, but it's already been won, everything. So
cool. What do you think changed from you 6 years ago to now? From when the time you would have said, I should be there, to the time that you say, I'm grateful.
Yeah, so actually going into Rio trials, I was like, I grew up in church and I was following God, but I wasn't, it wasn't like a personal relationship necessarily for myself. And when I missed that team, I was devastated and I had no idea. Like, I was shocked. And I remember coming home and I said, okay, God, like, if this is what you want me to be doing, I don't know what to do. And I just felt this incredible peace come over me. And I just felt like, you know, like, even though I didn't get what I wanted, that God still had a plan for me and God wanted to use me in some way. Had no idea what that was, but I just felt that there was more there. And then the night I came home from Paralympic trials, I got an email and an acceptance letter into the university I'm at in Montreal. And so that's where I moved to. And that's where God opened the door for me to train at this high level. And so it just felt like there was just confirmations after confirmation. And then I ended up giving my life to God and I got baptized before I moved away. And then it's just been a crazy little spiritual journey ever since.
That's amazing. You know what? I think you're such a good example in a million things, but one is that, you know, you have this goal, you're really good at swimming, you have the talent, but you also have worked really hard to get where you're at. Like, you didn't just wake up one day and you're going to Tokyo. Like, you trained really hard. And I think a lot of people, especially our age and younger, think that, oh, well, if I have an idea and I feel like God's calling me, then I should just get to Tokyo and I should just have the platform. And that is not the case.
Wouldn't that be nice? Wow.
That would be wonderful. It's like, oh, thank you, God. You give me my purpose with the platform. You give me my purpose with the podium, you know, but that doesn't always happen. It doesn't really ever happen. Normally it's, you know, and a battle that you go through the fire, you have to train. And so that is a huge inspiration for, I think, a lot of people. I want you to talk about a little bit about what your training looks like. And because I do want people to understand that it's not easy for the people that you see in the Olympics. It's not just because they're athletic. It's not mm-hmm. just because they have, you know, they had it made for them, or just because their dad was their coach, you know, like yeah. actually that was probably challenging in and of itself in some ways. So what does that training look like for, I guess, your life?
Yeah, so I started really competitive swimming probably about the age of 12. So for the last 12 years, we swim 10 times a week, and then we're in the weight room 3 times a week. And wow. our only days off are Sunday, which is God's day, so that's great. but yeah, like we train every day, and I think as this is an Olympic and a Paralympic year, the world really only sees athletes on the stage or like at these really big moments. But I don't think people realize that we, after these games are done, we go home and we do the same thing for the next 4 years. Mm-hmm. Like that there's no off time. There's no year off. There's no like mm-hmm. break. We're constantly putting our bodies through really intense training. We're constantly fueling ourselves. We're constantly getting the rest and the recovery we need. So being an athlete is like a 24/7 job. And I think also just being in the Paralympic side. So for those listeners who don't know, the Paralympics are for athletes with disabilities. Often the misconception is that the Paralympics are easy because mm-hmm. like, oh, you're disabled, you can just show up. Well, that's not the case anymore. Maybe 20, 30 years ago when there wasn't as much depth, but I mean, I've been trying for 13 years and this is my first time. It's not easy. You can't just show up and hope that you're good. Sadie, just like you were saying, like you can't just like show mm-hmm. up to the track and run a race and hope for the best nowadays. Like you have to work for it. And right. the same thing, like talking and making videos and stuff. Sometimes like you've got to put in a little bit of prep work if you want to sound good or if you want to
yep.
make sense.
That's the truth. Mm-hmm. That's why I stalked you on YouTube all morning.
I love that. It's so funny.
You can't just show up and it's clear in your life. And I love that you said that just because it's the Paralympics, that doesn't mean it's easier at all. Like you guys are actually overcoming really hard things mm-hmm. and having to be an athlete and train like the athletes do while having what, you know, is a disability. And so mm-hmm. no, that is, does not seem easy. That actually seems really hard and it's really inspiring. And the commercial came on this week, the Rock, you know, mm-hmm. did it. I was like crying. I was like, Dee's going to be there. It's so cool. No, it's very cool. One thing that you said on your YouTube video, and I thought it was really cool, so you're educating people on the M word. Mm-hmm. And I love that video because honestly, it was really educational for me because I've never talked to someone with dwarfism and I didn't realize how many different types you can have. And also that there's over like 600,000 people in the world that have dwarfism. And so this is clearly something I think we need to be educated on. And mm-hmm. so talk to us a little bit about the M word, why it's offensive, and how you've seen that maybe hurts that you've had in your life with that and what you wish people knew when they say things like that.
Yeah.
That's kind of a loaded question.
Well, no time like the present to get into that. So, so for those people who are listening, the M word is the word midget. And for little people, that is a super derogatory and offensive term. The word stems way back from the circus culture. There is a guy by the name of P.T. Barnum who you guys might know from the movie The Greatest Showman, but mm-hmm. he actually made money off of the backs of people who looked like me. And so like he made the freak show era a thing, and that's mm-hmm. where the word midget comes from. And so it's comes from this really like diminutive and this derogatory mm-hmm. era where when somebody calls me and my friends midgets, it doesn't make us feel great. It actually makes us more feel like objects and yeah. things. Like you don't just call somebody like I would like to think that people don't just say mean things to people on the street, but when you use the M word, that's what that does. It's
yeah.
not the greatest. And so I think the best way to refer to people with dwarfism is, first of all, by their name. So you guys know my name. My name's Dee. And or else, like, short person of short stature, person with dwarfism, little person. But the M word is definitely something mm-hmm. that it just throws your difference in your face. And yeah. for most people with disabilities, they do not need to be reminded that they are different. it is, right. We're pretty aware of it without someone needing to say it. And I think just the more, like, Sadie, you asking me to come on here today is so encouraging just for me and for other people who look like me, because this is a platform where we get to talk about this, because not everyone's going to know that the N-word's a bad word. And that's, I don't hold that against anybody, because education is important. And I think that people are genuinely curious, but who's ever listening, now that you know that it's a bad word, now it's kind of in your hands to go and, like, what are you going to do with that?
Yeah, that's good. So even, like, earlier, because this is a legit question, and I think this is part of humbling yourself and learning. Whenever I was talking about dwarfism, and then I said, you are a dwarf, is that the wrong phrase? Would you then say, and you're a little person? Like, would you not refer as a dwarf, even though it's dwarfism?
So for me, I'm totally cool with that, but it depends on the person. Like, my email is super dwarf, so it's, I'm pretty chill.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So, you know, I saw in one of your videos that you were talking about how you wish you could educate parents a little bit better as to how to teach their children, because you've seen moms just, like, hit their kid in public whenever they say something. And we had a counselor at camp who had dwarfism, and a lot of the kids would say stuff, and it's like, man, you kind of wish their parents would educate them a little bit. What would you say to a parent that was talking to their kid? Or what did your parents say to other moms or whatever? Did y'all ever walk through that from, like, a parent to child situation?
Yeah. So first of all, I would start with saying that I think questions are the best way to spread awareness, because we're curious people. I think God has made us to be curious. Like, he's made us to ask questions, and God is patient with us when we ask him questions. I ask God questions every day. Like, God, what about this? What about this? Yeah, why is this yellow? Why is this green? Like, we ask questions. And so I think that questions are one of the best things to educate people with. And I think that people are just curious, and we're just looking to find meaning in things. And so to diminish that in a child when they come up to someone who's different, when you get afraid that their question is offensive, like, let them ask, let them be curious. And then it's up to that person to answer in the way that they feel comfortable with. Yep. And I know for my parents, like, I would get little kids coming up to me all the time saying, I'm bigger than you. Or even my little cousins are like, Dee, next time you come home, I'm going to be taller. I'm like, yeah, because I don't grow, but you do. And they're like, what? And so it's just, like, keeping it open for them, because they usually, kids at that age and younger kids, they don't know any different. They see me and they see, okay, she's small, but she looks like a mom, so she must be a little mom. And I'm like, oh, no, I'm not a mom yet, but, like, I am small, so part marks for that. but I could stay on here all day and tell you all the funny stories that I've had and different comments. But what my parents did when I was going into school is they brought in this long, you know, those long balloons that you can make, like, balloon shapes with. Yep. And they came into my kindergarten class and they said, okay, so this is what your leg looks like, but Danielle's leg, and then they would tie a little knot.
That's so,
like,
sweet.
Looks like this, and her legs just don't grow, but she has everything that you have inside of you, just in a smaller package.
That's so sweet.
Yeah, so that was just one way that they would do that. But I am so for questions and so for asking things. And that's awesome. It depends on your heart, too. Like, how, and also depends on the question, but it depends on what you're wanting to know and just your heart posture. And if your heart posture is good, then
That's cool. So I did watch a lot of your things, and I did see that people have said some pretty rude things. And you even mentioned that earlier, people saying stuff from the street. I saw somebody leapfrogged over you, which was horrible. And I just can't even imagine that happening. And so I'm so sorry that people are just rude. With people doing stuff like that, how did you get to the point of saying, like, I want to start a vlog? Like, I want to let my little light shine. Because I think a lot of people, when they experience rudeness, or they experience people being a hater, if you will, because everybody experiences that to some degree, you know? I've experienced a lot for different reasons, you know? And, you know, sometimes it's like, I don't even want to show myself. I don't even want to put something out because I don't want the hatred. I don't want the commentary. What was it in you that said, hey, I'm going to let my little light shine, I'm starting this YouTube series?
Yeah, so that was a little bit of a process. I totally relate also what you said about putting yourself out there. It's like you have this on your heart and you want to share, but then you know that putting yourself out there, you're exposing yourself to a lot of other yep. things. But I think that's when it comes back to where's our identity and who are we doing this for? And because people's comments change every day. you could be in the good books one day and canceled the next. And so.
Oh, yeah. That's the truth.
Yeah. So I know I get what you're saying. But there was an instance, a very specific one that was like pretty much changed how I saw speaking to people. And it was in 2018. I was walking home from school and there was a homeless man and he had like tattoos all over his face. And he was definitely on some sort of drug and he was a little bit out of his mind, but he saw me and he immediately just started yelling at me, like top of his lungs, middle of downtown. Was, oh my gosh, look at you. Beep, beep, beep. You are so small. Like just belittling. Wow. Me. I had never experienced that form of just intense hate, pretty much is what that was. Mm. And I was so shocked. And so I just kept walking and put my head down. And as I was getting home, I started crying and I got inside, I put my bag down, I sat on my couch and I just broke down. And I remember just being so desperate. And I looked up and I said, God, what the heck? Like, you made me this way. And so why did you let that happen? And if you made me this way, you have to come down and fix that. Mm. Fix this, because I can't do that. I can't deal with that. And then a few minutes passed and I stopped crying. And you know those moments where like the light bulb just goes off, like in those little cartoons, like ding, an idea. Yep. And so this was a God ding idea. And I just felt like he wanted me to go buy him dinner. Go back out and buy this guy dinner. And I was like, are you sure about that? Like, did you not see what he just did to me? Did you not hear? And he said, go buy him dinner. Wow. So I put my boots back on, walked back down my stairs, grabbed my debit card, and I started praying. And I said, okay, God, if this is you, he's going to be there. And if this is not you, I'm just going to go home and pretend that this didn't happen.
And eat that dinner.
And eat that dinner, exactly. And so I was walking and I see him on the corner. I'm like, oh no, this is him. Like, okay, God, give me the words to say now because I don't want to be doing this. And I walked up to him and the guy saw me and he starts yelling. And I went up to him and I stuck my hand out. So before COVID, so it was fine. Stuck my hand out and I said, hi, my name's Danielle. Can I buy you dinner? And immediately his jaw just dropped to the floor. And he said, you would do that for me? And I said, yeah, I'll buy you anything you want. And he immediately just started apologizing for everything he said. He said, you know, I am so sorry I treated you that way. It's these drugs that I'm on. They're just messing me up. Like, do you forgive me? And I said, yeah, I forgive you. Let's just go and have some dinner. So we went in to the McDonald's, great dinner choice for an athlete, and he ordered what he wanted. And just for 15 minutes, we just got to talk, and he just told me about his life. He told me about his kids. We were actually both from Vancouver, and so it's kind of crazy that we're in Montreal and we're sharing this meal together. And he was just telling me about himself, and then he gets his dinner, and I feel – so at this moment, too, I was pretty new to praying out loud, and I was, like, relatively more newer Christian, pursuing God, and I felt God say, Danielle, you're a Christian. You need to pray for him. It's like, oh, okay, geez, okay, I'll do that. So I said, hey, like, I'm a Christian. Do you mind if I pray for you? And he goes, oh, like, I used to know God a long time ago. Like, yes, I would love that. And so in the middle of this McDonald's, this man with tattoos all over his face and this little 4'1" dwarf, I just laid my hands on him and I said, dear Jesus, thank you for this day. And I prayed for him. And his name's Shane. And Shane calls me now his food hookup because every time he sees me in the street, we're like, hey. And it was the craziest experience because I left there and I felt so close to Shane that I could have given him a hug. Wow. Whereas 30 minutes before, that was like the worst night of my life.
Wow.
And so God showed up for me, and like I was praying that God would give me peace, that he would help me out. But what God does is he's not just about helping one person. He's about helping everybody. And Shane is his child just as much as I'm his child. Mm. And for me to be able to heal and to get better was for me to step out of my comfort zone and meet Shane where he was at, which was with a meal and a prayer.
Wow.
And so that story, that event, and that really just changed the way that I saw how I could use my disability and use my difference to reach people. Wow. And then a few years later, I just felt like I wanted to start a channel. And I, Sadie, I was actually really inspired by you and just what you were doing with, like, your voice and your platform. I was like, God, I can't go off and do that right now because I'm swimming every day. Like, I don't have
That's
time.
Right. You're busy.
So what do I do? And he's like, start a YouTube channel. Just start a blog. It's like, okay, what do I call it? And I'm all about short jokes. You might know this from, if any of you are on the app, I definitely drop those jokes from time to time. And I was praying for a name. I was like, God, what do I call this? Like, it's got to be great. It's got to be like, okay, maybe like short stories or not so short stories. And then there was one day I was in the mall and a song came on and it was This Little Light of Mine. And it was like, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine.
So brilliant.
And then it just, another ding, light bulb, God moment. Just
literally
like,
a
this
light.
This little light. All right. God, you're funny. Let's go. And then started a channel and here we
that
are.
That was so good. I love it. I'll actually never forget when I first met you on Zoom and everyone was introducing themselves and you made a short joke and everyone got silent. Like, no one knew what to do. And you said, guys, I'm kidding. Like, you can laugh. And everybody just died laughing. It was so funny.
So funny because I actually felt so bad about that because you were pregnant at the time and I had said that I was small because my mom drank coffee in the womb. And I remember saying that. And I was like, dang. What did you just do?
That was so funny. I was like, I literally just remember being like, wow. And then everyone just like stopped talking. But it was so good. Your sense of humor is so fun.
I'm glad you see it that way. That's good.
I think it's hilarious. I really do. Well, I really could talk to you all day. And I really want to be real life friends. We got to stop just meeting over Zoom sure. We need to go hang out with Shane and go to McDonald's. But... one thing that I did want to ask you before we get off is that, you know, you are so spiritually grounded and rooted. And when you say stuff like, oh, then I heard God say this and then I prayed this and I was new to out loud prayer. It's really cool because when I hear you talk, I would think, oh, you must have grown up a Christian your whole life. You like, you know, are so rooted in the word. You're so rooted in God. You trust him so much. And so to hear you say like, it was a few years ago after Rio that like I got baptized and gave my life to God. You know, I think that's going to be inspiring for people because I think a lot of times people see someone where they're at in their faith and they say like, I'm too far behind. Like I could never get there. Like I didn't grow up with this. I'm not like that now. What was that like for you? What was that turnaround and how are you who you are now? How are you so rooted in Christ and who you are?
That's a great question. Well, for those of you who are worried that you're too far behind, nothing is out of the time of God. If God wants you to do something, he is going to speed you up to get there. He's going to turn you around or flip you upside down to do whatever you need to do. But yeah, like so my parents grew up in church and they brought us to church and they were really foundational for me. Like I would not have known about Christianity if it wasn't for my parents. And growing up, my parents would always pray over me and they would say, Danielle, God has a plan and a purpose for your life. And like you matter. And so they always instilled that in me, but it wasn't until I made that decision for myself. It's like, we can ride on the coattails of someone's faith only for so long until we have to make that decision for ourselves.
That's the truth.
And so it was in 2016 when I made that decision. I said, you know what? My parents have been telling me this. I feel like I believe it. I don't fully understand it, but I want to spend the rest of my life figuring that out. And it wasn't until I was like, okay, God, it's you and me. It's not me and it's not you and them plus me. Sometimes it's you and me, where it just took off. And then I just, God would just put things in my path that would help me grow. And so I made my first Christian friends when I was 19 years old. Like I didn't have Christian community until I came to university of all places.
Wow.
And I met like, so that's God. And I never experienced, really like the highs and lows of swimming. How would I say that? Like I never experienced the things that I'm experiencing now without God putting them in my path and without, taking those steps. And then there's the whole aspect of obedience. So it can be in your path, but if you're willing to go for it, that's a whole other thing. And I just decided, I just made a decision that I've said, you know, like, God, if you want me to do this, I'll do it. And you will make it better because you've showed me time and time again that you've always made it better.
Yep. That's why, like, one of my favorite verses, and I quote this so much, is that, you know, gosh, I literally just went blank because of that. Hebrews 10:35.
Yeah.
And it talks about the confident trust that we have in the Lord. And the way that you gain confident trust is by having confidence in him because you trust him, because you know that's how he's going to show up. And I love how, like, for you, like, you know God's going to show up whenever you obey, because, like, you did it with Shane. Like, God said, go buy him dinner. You could have just said, well, God, actually, like, I forgive him. Mm-hmm. And that would have been good. But he said, go buy him dinner. And you got up and you got your debit card and you went to him and you shook his hand, the guy, and then you took him to McDonald's and you sat there and you bought him dinner. Like, you didn't have to do all that. That was obedience, you know? And, like, that, God showing you that and what you felt that night and how you did have peace in your heart and you forgave someone and you had joy and you had a new friend in Shane, you know, and you got to overcome this moment. And then it set you up for the YouTube. Like, now you have a confident trust. Like, okay, God, if you ask me, even if it sounds crazy, even if it's hard, even if it's awkward, even if it's uncomfortable, even if it's scary, like, I'll say yes because I know you're going to meet me. And I love how you prayed in that story. You said, God, come down here and fix it. And he met you. Like, he met you in that moment, because it says in 1 John, like, no one's ever seen God, but if we love one another, God's love is made perfect through us. It's completed in us. And so, like, when you do that act of love, like, you do see God, you know?
Exactly.
And so you are such an inspiration, honestly. I'm so glad that you did this. I'm so glad that you said yes to this podcast in the midst of your training. And I hope every single person in the world listens to this. So whoever's listening, send it to 10 of your friends right now, because there's so many things that we can learn from you, Dee. And you are a little light and a big light, Elle, at the same time. And so thanks for being you. And thank you so much for being in the app and pouring into girls there, pouring into girls on your YouTube, on your Instagram, here. And hey, go crush it in Tokyo.
Go Canada. Let's go.
Well, Canada.
Sadie, thank you so much for having me, and thank you just for providing this platform for people to share what God has put on their hearts and what else is going on. Because, you know, like, just bring it back to this little light. Like, we all have a light to shine, and it's thanks to Jesus that we do. And your light looks different than mine, and my light looks different than yours, but we're shining them together, and the world's looking pretty bright from where I'm sitting.
It's looking pretty bright. Let's
looking
go.
Pretty bright.
That's awesome. Well, I appreciate it, girl. Thank you so much.